To the Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. Tonight we're talking about navigating the shark-infested waters of corporate culture for African Americans, how to be successful as you climb the corporate ladder. My guests are Ramon Richards, a vice president in the technology organization with Fannie Mae, and Deborah Owens. She is founder and CEO of Corporate Alley Cat, a corporate consulting firm. Lines are open. Give us a call at 202-319-7810. That's 202-319-7810. Let me go back to the phone line. Sally, missed you last time. Are you still there?
Yes, I'm still here. Thank you.
What's on your mind?
My call. Mm-hmm. I am calling to ask for recommendations on how to incorporate negative feedback in a positive way so that you could grow and progress in your career.
I think that's a great question. How do you deal with negative feedback?
Well, I will tell you that so negative feedback is always difficult to take on. You want to make sure that your reaction isn't defensive. You want to make sure that you are in a listening mode and really asking, actually probing questions to make sure you truly understand where the negative feedback is coming from, and also to drive clarity on what are possible solutions that put you in a position to actually address it and make sure that you don't receive that type of feedback before.
Do you need to consider the source?
Well, I do think the probing questions allow you to get to a point with where you can either agree and understand, or you can start to question the source. A lot of times people have a defensive reaction to negative feedback, and you may be missing a blind spot of yours where you were so busy being defensive, you actually missed some really important points. After you understand those important points, you can decide whether it's something you're going to take action on or whether you're going to challenge the source.
So what I would say, Harold, is I would love to direct people to our website. We actually have a blog post, and I think you'll like our title. It's called Professional Clapback, Five Strategies. See, I knew you would like that. Five Strategies for Dealing with Negative Feedback. And so I want to echo what he said, but I think the source is important. So whenever you receive any type of negative feedback, you want to ask questions, but you want to ask really specific questions after you listen. You want to make sure that you're dealing in facts, not emotion. So does it matter where it comes from? Yes. And I tell you why. Because you need to know, is this something that one person said, or is this something that multiple clients have said, right? Because there's a different impact there. You want to say, you may ask your boss, well, where did you get this information or who said that? They may say, well, confidentiality. And you say, okay, but can you give me the circumstances around it? And make it clear that my goal is to understand the behavior in question so that I don't duplicate it. Once you receive this feedback, I think this is very important. You don't have to respond right that moment. If you're feeling particularly emotional about this, say, thank you for the feedback. I'd like to process it. Can I circle back with you later? Once you've established that there is an issue, ask for your manager's help. Here's the problem. Some people don't want to ask for help. They get this feedback, it gets them all, and then they just go with that. Find out what it is, what caused it, and then begin to change that pattern. But ask your manager for help to do that and make sure they're on board with it. And my advice, whenever you get any type of feedback about your performance, particularly if it's negative, document it. Because you don't want this popping up like, Ramon, remember we had that conversation six months ago and you're saying, but I thought we resolved it. Well, no, we said you needed to continue to work on it. So you want to document it when you first have the conversation to make sure that everybody's aligned and we're on the same page about what specific issue we're actually addressing. And then when you have a solution and or when it's resolved, you want to document that so that if that conversation comes up again, you can say, well, here's the documentation that I sent to you, and it was my understanding based on boom, 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 that this has been resolved. Because here's a place where people get into trouble a lot. These he said, she said conversation, and there's no evidence. And for people of color, this is critical.
Okay. So let me just add piece, though. I want to drive home that whether the person who's providing you the feedback is right or wrong.
Right.
When you respond in a defensive way.
Absolutely.
And a third party has to get involved, or anyone else has to get involved to resolve this, you do not want to be in a position where you're categorized as defensive, angry, frustrated, not listening. You're actually working against your cause. And so that's where it takes a lot of discipline to say, I'm going to listen, I really like the point about, you know what, if I can't talk about it now, then we'll come back and have this conversation after I've really thought through this. Really important.
And sometimes you need to step away. Thank you for the feedback. And you need to go back to your team, your mentors, your kitchen cabinet, whatever you want to call it. The other thing I want to say really quickly, Harold, because I think this is real important. The other caller said, you know, it's about who you know. Mm-hmm. I would challenge that to say it's about who knows you. Right? When your name comes up in that boardroom or that conference room when they're having succession planning meaning they're determining who's going to go in what position, do you know what the people, your leadership team, is going to say about you? Because that is your brand. Now, if you say, if I asked you, Harold, what are the leaders in the boardroom going to say about you? Mm-hmm. And if you say they're going to say I'm hardworking, you're in trouble. What is your brand? And when these situations come up, you don't want your brand to be, Ramon is good, but he doesn't take feedback well. He's had some difficulty collaborating on teams, right? So it's you got to get to know people, but who knows you? What do they know about what you do and your impact? And then what will they say about you in the boardroom? Do you know what your brand is?
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Ron, calling from Alexandria. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Yes, hello. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Go right ahead.
Yes, I'm wondering about those who've already been in corporate America, have left and basically changed their careers. I'm a middle-aged person, and so basically trying to start over. Okay, what would your suggestions be for a person of my age group, I guess you could call it?
Mm-hmm. How old are you?
I'm 50.
50. Okay.
A baby.
Yeah.
A baby. Mm-hmm. So what? So what I would say is there are lots of resources out there depending on what your interest is. I would start with a professional organization. You know, if you're interested in going to IT, if you're interested in going into radio, you know, there are associations out there. If you are in that 50 plus, the 50 and wonderful phase, then you can reach out to AARP. They have a lot of services. Reach out to your friends. One of the things that I think people don't realize is we all have a network right in front of us that we're not tapping into. You know those 800 friends you have on Facebook?
Mm-hmm.
Use them. Yeah. Let them know what you're interested in doing. Somebody in your family, friend, reach out to former colleagues. They are a wonderful resource. But there are lots of ways that you can begin that process. And a lot of it is right here in front of you.
I think one of the things you also want to do is you want to do some research and do your homework. You need to understand what are the skills or certifications that are really trending well in the corporate environment. So you may have to invest some time in taking some classes, getting a certification that positions you well. One of the good things is that most companies are hiring, and hiring has been progressing, well compared to where we were in 2008. But it really is understanding what are they looking for, what are the skills that align with your interest, and what are the things you need to do to build those skills to position yourself.
Thank you so much, Ron. I appreciate it. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. James, calling from D.C. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
My question is, so they said that it's more or less unwritten rules for African-Americans. So to your panel, are y'all acknowledging that racism is still alive and well in the corporate world?
I am. Is there lots of bias in the corporate world? Yes. Can it be racial? Can it be gender? Are you going to run into bad managers? Are you going to have obstacles that others don't? Does the rule still apply that you can't do what your white counterparts can do? Does that exist? Yes.
Yeah. I mean, there's no doubt that, you know, biases exist. There's prejudice. Some of the prejudice is not intentional. It's a lack of awareness. It's a lack of understanding. So no doubt those things exist. But I do think there are actions that you can take that a lot of people don't take because they're not comfortable. And I think one of them is, you know, as simple as communicating what are you expecting from the company, where do you want to be, and what are the things you need to do to get there. Now, you can't have these conversations without having a foundation of a really good work ethic and high performance. But, you know, most of the time when you're a high performer, the company wants to retain you. and they will have the conversation with you. So a lot of people assume a certain bias or assume a certain perception. It may exist, it may not, but you can force a different kind of engagement by communicating and being clear about what your expectations are.
Let me ask, because I do want to talk a little bit about corporate culture as it relates to people of color, but more specifically Black people, because we can take Ramon for example. You may be, and obviously, you know, I would be biased, but you're from the D.C. area, so you went to public school in Montgomery County. You went to an HBCU, then you went to, you know, Wharton School of Business. You could be considered the ideal employee on paper, okay? Because you have diversity, you have personal diversity, you have the experience of a melting pot Washington metro area, good and bad. But not every, you know, Black man who may be your counterpart has those same kinds of educational, social, familial experiences. And so your answer, if one of your white colleagues comes up to you and says, "What is this Black Lives Matter thing?" may be different if you have that discussion, as opposed to they ask someone, a Black guy who was raised in Montana on an Air Force base. And so every Black is not your Black. How do you deal with those kinds of issues, if ever they may come up, for example?
Well, okay, so I've had the benefit of being exposed to a lot of Black people who have been very successful in the corporate environment, whether it's at my company or other companies. And some of the traits that have been consistent, regardless of what their background has been, a high degree of integrity, a work ethic, willing to bring their true self to the table. They are authentic in who they are, but they understand what boundaries that I need to have in place in order to operate in the corporate culture that I'm in. And they're also people who are very upfront with what they're getting out of this deal. And so, once you kind of get into the company, your background and kind of what your experiences have been and where you went to school, you know, people understand that. But it's really about what are you doing for the company and how are you moving us forward?
Yeah. And one of the things I would say is I spent almost 30 years in corporate America. I was in a senior leadership position where they didn't have any other African-American women in those roles. And I can tell you that it is all about performance and high performance, but beyond those, all of the other things we talked about. But as a person of color, there are going to be times where you're going to feel like you're being challenged unnecessarily. People want to understand how you got in that role where they
may not.
That's
not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about corporate culture and the reality of the life in the days that we live in.
Mm-hmm.
Because you can be the best performer and you can sell all the widgets in the world that you want. But the reality is that with as I said, politics, religion, and sex, those used to be taboo. But now we're in an election year where politics and sex, and one could argue religion, are part of the water cooler conversation. And if you are the only Black woman there, someone, right or wrong, is going to ask you to be the spokesperson for all Black women in America because you're the only one that
Absolutely.
They see. How do you deal with that?
So let me just say right off the start, I've never really believed in you don't talk about politics and religion at work, right? Because that's how you get to know people. Now, when I think it gets dangerous is when you have those conversations with the intent of trying to change someone else's opinion.
Mm-hmm.
But I think you can have those discussions and you can learn more about those.
But you have to build a certain relationship as the foundation because they can be very divisive discussions.
Especially this
right?
year.
Absolutely, they can be divisive. But what I'm saying is I think that you have to have an honest discussion. You don't go in the discussion with the intent to try to change someone's opinion or their political affiliation.
A teachable moment. Hold that point. I've got to take a break. James, thank you for bringing more energy to this conversation. I appreciate that. I'm going to be talking to Brandon on the other side. Lines are still open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We're talking about African Americans and climbing the corporate ladder. Do's and don'ts. We'll be back in a Welcome back to The Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. We continue our conversation about African-Americans and climbing the corporate ladder, how not to make any mistakes. I want to finish that last piece about, you know, corporate culture and sometimes being asked the black question, if you're the only black guy or black gal in the room, and how you deal with it, particularly if it is something that has nothing whatsoever to do with productivity or the company image. I'm talking about the inside baseball and how you survive that culture.
Yeah. And so I think it's important in this day and age, if that conversation comes to you, that you're prepared to have the conversation and you're prepared to express how you feel and, you know, where your point of view comes from. You know, I really think often when that conversation comes to you, you should know in that moment that you can't stop at the surface. It's very important to talk about the roots of your belief and why. Now, you know, my hope is that you're having the conversation with somebody you're comfortable having the conversation with. That's going to determine how far you want to go and what boundaries you want to put up.
I absolutely agree with him. I don't think you shy away from those conversations. I can tell you, Harold, my personal experience, having those conversations have actually helped my relationships with a lot of people, because I think a lot of people want to have those conversations, but they're scared to. I don't know, Debbie, is it okay if I say that? Are they going to think I'm racist? So if you can present yourself as somebody who's open, then you can be the go-to person. So not only once they see you're open, then they start coming to you with other things. And so now you have a little bit of a platform to begin sharing, educating, giving a different perspective. But Harold, there's another thing that I think is very tricky for people of color in corporate. When you are the only person of color, when you see something, give you an example, something that comes from the marketing department, there's no diversity in the marketing department, and you see every stereotype of a black person in this video or in this product, and you're the only person of color sitting at the table, do you raise your hand and say, what the heck is this? Or do you just kind of go with the flow? I say that you raise your hand, you give perspective on it, you talk about the goal that you're trying to accomplish and how this will impact it. But I don't think you shy away from giving your perspective, because having a diverse organization, that's what gives you value.
You're able to
see it from some another dimension, but too many people are scared to say anything.
But also you have the privilege of a cultural and historical conversation. Because again, as I said, not every person who is of color who sees those things may recognize those things. And that is also the danger a lot of times when an organization is trying to be inclusive and they want to hire people of color. But if they have no people of color already or may not be familiar with them, they may just, well, he's brown, and he's qualified, but who is he? They don't ask. Or who is she? They don't ask, you know, that question. And so, unfortunately, a lot of times, you know, those are the risks that companies may take if they don't have the depth of looking at who they're hiring.
Well, it starts with, you know, when these conversations come your way. I think one of the ways you can look at it, the positive way, is that you're dealing with the counterpart who's ready to have a different kind of conversation. Mm-hmm. In my experience, because I've had some of these conversations in the workplace about race, about Black Lives Matter, and once you start explaining your point of view, And maybe if there's something to take away from this, it's you got to be ready to have these conversations when they come. There's usually an aha moment, mm-hmm. where the person on the other side never understood it the way that you explained it. I've had aha moments where I didn't understand, mm-hmm. their point of view. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of positive discovery that you build on in terms of continuing to foster that relationship. So there's a real positive that can come out. Now,
absolutely.
You have to be comfortable. But there's a real positive that can come out of these kind of conversations.
Yeah, well said. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Lisa, calling from Alexandria, what's on your mind?
Oh, yes. Hi, Harold.
Hey, how are you?
For the conversation. I'm well, thank you. I am that African-American female in corporate America law firm. I'm, you know, on the staff side, I am a high performer. And the lady on your panel was commenting on, like, feeling in a situation where...
Lisa, I apologize. Can you hang up? Lisa, can you call us back? You're breaking up.
Yes.
Yeah, give me a call back. I think you may be on a cell phone and maybe in a bad position. 202-319-7810. I'm going to hang up. Just call me right back, okay? Hopefully we're going to pick her back up. But you know, in the interim, as you were talking about, Ramon, that teachable moment and needing to be prepared to have, you know, that teachable moment, and also being prepared to be taught. Mm-hmm. When, as you were speaking about, you know, not every black person, no matter where they're from, in corporate America, is so culturally enriched that they know everything. Mm-hmm. Because there are other people. You know, Asians or people of Jewish background, or even people of color, you know, Africans, for example, that may be in corporate America, and you still may not be familiar with where they're coming from. And so that is why it is so important, you know.
Absolutely. And when we talk about having these conversations, and we talk about network and building relationships, and one of the things you said, Ramon, was maintaining relationships, it's a skill. Right. I think that for a lot of people, you don't come out on day one and you know how to do this. It's something that you have to work on, just like any other skill that you're developing in corporate. The more you do it, the more comfortable you get with it. Mm-hmm. But you've got to get comfortable with being uncomfortable.
Let me grab Lisa. Lisa, are you there? Lisa, can you hear me? There you go. What's on your mind?
Oh, yes. So I was just commenting. The young lady was... before you stopped her, so I'm experiencing that situation where now I find myself being unnecessarily challenged, and it doesn't make any sense to me, but I want to understand the mindset of white people. I really do.
Challenged how?
Well, in my duties, I work in a law firm, and now, you know, I've been there 3 years. I'm a high performer, very good leader there. And now I find that my supervisor, she just came up with this, like, bogus chart and these numbers and said I was underperforming. I said, well, what is this chart? Explain these numbers to me. And I'm going to look at your chart against what I've been doing. You've never said anything to me in all this time, so I need to know what you're talking about. And then a few days later, we had resumed the meeting. I said, well, here's my proof and evidence. And she's like, oh, I got my numbers wrong. It's just little frustrating things. It's like borderline racism to me. And that's what I'm dealing with. Mm. But I think I've handled it well. You know, I said, well, what is it that what are you seeing, and what is it that you want me to do exactly? So I'm going to do it her way exactly. So now I challenge, it's like a reverse, I challenge her, you know, with my docket.
Well, let me see what my guests have to say about that. Ramon, you want to start with
that? Yeah, one suggestion. You know, if you all have gotten to a place where she's acknowledged that, you know, she got her numbers or her data wrong, and you think there may be more to it than that, you know, I would suggest, if you haven't already, having a conversation with her and expressing how she made you feel and what went through your mind when she shared the feedback that she shared. You know, it's one of those things where, if it was coming from a sincere place, and you're expressing, you know, the level of angst and disappointment that you had, you know, in a very safe way, you are calling her out, and the hope is that she would be more sensitive to the feedback she provides in the future and more considerate to make sure that she has her data right.
Yeah, I think this is an interesting situation because I only heard that one example. So I would really need to know, are you seeing a trend where you're getting challenged unnecessarily and you're coming back to, oh, I made a mistake? Are there assumptions that are being made that you're doing things incorrectly? So I would want to see, is this a trend or is this a one-off? Because if this is a one-off, you know, she came back, she acknowledged that the chart and the dates were wrong. Now, what I will say is if you have a gut feeling for whatever reason that it is more, I'm just a documentation person. I'd send her a note and say, hey, Harold, thanks so much. I'm glad we were able to resolve that issue where the numbers got confused. It looks like we're on the right track. Moving forward, I'll make sure X, Y, and Z. Because I think if you feel like there's something else going on, you need to give yourself a little protection. And I'd also say, what is your current relationship with that manager, right? Because sometimes you need to talk about how you work together. Because the undercurrent really isn't racial, gender, you're doing a bad job. It may be working styles or that you guys aren't getting along. And you need to address...
Personality skies.
Absolutely. You need to address that.
Yeah. All right.
Does that...
Well, Lisa, something for you to think about, and I think we're going to end the conversation here. But thank you so much for calling, and good luck to you. Ramon Richards, Deborah Owens, thank you both for sharing with us. And don't forget that webinar tomorrow, 8 o'clock, on CorporateAllyCat.com. Don't miss it. It should be chock full of information.
And Harold.
Yes.
Can I just invite everybody to go to CorporateAllyCat.com and sign up for our email where you will get free coaching tips and information delivered right to your email.
And there's
It'll
the word.
It'll be very helpful.
Free.
Free.
Thank you both. I appreciate it. That is The Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141 for this Monday, October 24th, I'm Harold Fisher. You can reach me on Facebook at Harold Fisher, WHUR, or Twitter at H Fisher, WHUR. Now, stay tuned for The Connection with Lorna Newton. Good night.